you can see. To real, and the radio was in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. My name is Victoria Ketty, and you are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network, this is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Emily Shimidis of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. On June 3rd, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison upgraded charges against a former Minneapolis police officer who knelt on George Floyd's neck and charged the other three officers at the scene with aiding and abetting murder. Protests, though, continued nationally and in the Hudson Valley. The Daily Freeman reported that more than 1,500 people turned out for Walk for Black Lives in Kingston, starting at 5 p.m. at Academy Green and marching down Broadway in a show of solidarity against racism and for police accountability. The Hudson Valley chapter of Citizens Action of New York organized the event. Rashida Tyler of the Real Kingston Tenants Union said during the event, and I quote, "We're here today of all colors. Remember this moment when anyone tries to be divisive and say, black this, white that. We can't come together. We can, we will. We're moving forward," end quote. Kingston also hosted a smaller protest July 30th. Kingston Mayor Steve Noble, Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, Ulster County District Attorney David Clegg, and Kingston Police Chief Egidio Tente were among the politicians in attendance. Almost all protesters wore masks, but few were able to maintain 6 feet of space with one another. There are more protests scheduled in the region this week, with one in Catskill meeting at 5 p.m. at the middle school on June 4th. The Troy Rally for Black Lives will be held at 2 p.m. June 7th at Riverfront Park. This is the first protest in that city since the murder of George Floyd by the Minneapolis police, and the Times Union reports that Troy officials are preparing for the worst. Kenneth C. Crow II reports, and I quote, "Law enforcement sources said the Troy Police Department's riot gear was brought out of storage to the station," end quote. Several law enforcement officials refused to comment. Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin said at his daily coronavirus update that, and I quote, "We expect, I think, That's a key word. Expect it to be a positive experience, and it will be peaceful and calm. We're not going to put up with stuff that happened in other cities and states, end quote. Many storefront windows in downtown Troy were covered with plywood, some painted with colorful murals. In Albany, there have been protests almost every day, and some of the ones that lasted into the night have not turned out well. Most local media are describing a handful of troublemakers as the problem, but there have also been many reports of police aggression. The Times Union recounts one story that changed from protest to problem into police at fault. A man recording police arresting someone else on June 2nd was arrested himself and charged with inciting a riot. But Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan saw what he recorded and said it was, and I quote, troubling, end quote. The charges against the couple were dropped June 3rd, and the matter was referred to the department's Office of Professional Standards. Kameni Addison said he was punched by an officer and shocked with a taser. Asked why he left his car in a convenience store parking lot across the street to record the arrest, he said, and I quote, I didn't want them to violate that man's rights in front of me. I felt that as a black man, I should stand up, end quote. He said he complied with the police request to back away, but he refused to move past his own vehicle. Sheehan said, and I quote, the video footage does not appear to depict efforts by police to de-escalate a situation, nor does it depict the sensitivity I expect from all city employees in this moment and every day, end quote. Addison said that at one point an officer kneeled on his head or neck for several seconds and that he and Desiree Schumann were both taken to Albany Medical Center for treatment and released. Addison said, and I quote, I hope they had body cameras on because I want people to hear what was said, end quote. Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Residents of Coxsackie and New Baltimore were affected by a water main break June 3rd, according to Coxsackie Village Mayor Mark Evans. The broken main serves a portion of Dieter Rich's trailer park and all of Scheller Park in New Baltimore, Evans said. The line is owned by the town of Baltimore, but maintained by the village of Coxsackie. Evans said Callahan Construction of South Bethlehem will do the repairs because the job is beyond the ability of the village Department of Public Works to tackle. The repairs are made more difficult because the main runs under the southbound lanes of the New York State Thruway. Depending on how quickly the specific location of the break can be found, repairs could take one day or several days. The village website reports that two water trailers are available for residents of Scheller Park on Wednesday, June 3rd. Residents are being advised to boil water for use. On Thursday, a water tanker will be hooked up to the water system in Scheller in an effort to restore water service. Service to Dieterich's trailer park has already been restored, but a boil water advisory is in effect for the next several days. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Hudson Hall announced June 3rd in a press release it is working to source bulk personal protective equipment items for the Hudson business community, including nonprofits, at cost. Items include face shields, masks, infrared thermometers, locally made hand sanitizer, and wipes. Other items will be added to the list based on demand. Supply for all items is on a first-come, first-served basis to the Hudson Business Coalition community and small businesses located within the 12534 zip code. Orders are being taken online at hudsonhall.org with curbside pickup at 327 Warren Street. The initiative is supported by the Hudson Business Coalition and the Columbia County Economic Development Corporation. Information is available at hudsonhall.com. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the chief of the Washington Heights Fire Department in Wallkill, Ulster County, has been removed from duty following remarks he posted on his personal Facebook page. Chuck Healy called protesters, and I quote, pavement apes, end quote. A comment the fire department said, according to a post on their Facebook page, was, and I quote, insensitive and inappropriate at a time when all people should be unified against hate and discrimination, end quote. The Post went on to say the members of the fire department are embarrassed about the comment and assured the community that Healy's remarks do not reflect the views of the Washington Heights firefighters. Healy was removed from duty while the department reviews its disciplinary options with their attorneys. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. The local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates. Visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 4th. It is a little muggy this morning as temperatures start out at 62 degrees. Expect some patchy fog. Temperatures will climb quickly to 86 at 4 p.m. Light breeze should keep the air from getting stagnant. Overnight, temperatures reach a comfortable 75 degrees by 11 p.m. It then bottoms out around dawn, reaching 63 degrees. Chances of rain enter the area after 9 a.m. At about 2 p.m. tomorrow, temperatures reach their max of 87, and rain and thunder chances increase, with these conditions lasting through dark. And Saturday's prospects are looking moist. Pollen is at medium-high levels today, and high levels predicted for tomorrow. The next high tides will be at 2:28 p.m., and tomorrow at 2:52 a.m. The next low tides will be at 8:50 a.m., and at 8:59 p.m. Water temperature today will be 73 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:07 p.m. And sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see four near-Earth objects are expected today, the largest of which is 339 meters wide. Solar wind speed is currently 310 kilometers per second at 11 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 12. And for more from the makers, tonight we will have a live correspondent attending the protest at the Catskill High School, so tune in for more. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Thousands of absentee ballot applications are pouring into the Board of Elections in Columbia and Green counties in advance of the June 23rd primary election. Governor Andrew Cuomo issued an executive order in April requiring the applications be sent to every eligible voter statewide in response to the health concerns raised by large gatherings at polling sites. Republican Commissioner Kelly Miller-Simons said the Columbia County Board of Elections mailed out 31,002 absentee ballot applications in May to both Republicans and Democrats. Completed applications have been coming in over the past few days. Once submitted, the applications are reviewed and put into the system. If eligible, a ballot is then sent to the voter. Columbia County Democratic Commissioner Ken Dow said voters looking to vote by absentee ballot in the primary race should complete and mail their applications as soon as possible. County Republican Commissioner Brent Borgata said in Greene County, the initial mailing was so daunting that officials brought in additional help to get them all out. He said, and I quote, "It is more than normal, so we have had to bring in two elections inspectors that work with us on normal election days who have information and knowledge of the process to help us process all these absentee ballot applications," end quote. He said the more than 22,000 applications to Democrats and Republicans were mailed out about 10 days ago. He added that County Board of Elections officials will process all of the applications. While all eligible voters have the option to vote by absentee ballot in the primary, Borgata said all 25 of Greene County's polling sites will be open for in-person voting from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Columbia County will also have polling sites open, but fewer of them. Dow said there will be 13 sites open compared to 32 for a typical primary. Early voting is available and begins June 13th. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Emily Munson is reporting for the Times Union. Congress has approved new legislation to add more flexibility to the Paycheck Protection Program, a federal forgivable loan program for small businesses. The Senate unanimously passed a bill June 3rd to make changes that will allow small businesses to use their loan money to cover expenses over 24 weeks instead of 8 and still qualify for forgiveness. They also can use more of the loan for costs other than payroll, including rent. Only 60% must now cover payroll in order to get forgiveness. The bill would also allow companies that are approved for loan forgiveness to defer payroll taxes. Finally, companies that do not meet the criteria to have the loan forgiven will now have 5 years instead of 2 to pay it back. The U.S. House of Representatives approved the measure last week. The bill now goes to President Donald Trump for his signature. The Small Business Administration has approved more than 4.5 million PPP loans to small businesses totaling more than $510 billion, including nearly 300,000 loans to New York businesses as of last week. The average loan in New York was $128,531. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the State Thruway Authority has resumed cash toll collections along the Thruway's ticketed system effective Thursday, June 4th. The emergency toll procedure put in place in March are now suspended. Drivers will receive a toll ticket when entering and be able to pay with cash at a staffed lane when exiting. Drivers with EasyPass will continue with contactless travel and payment at all tolling locations. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is reporting on Tuesday, May 26, Greene County 911 requested help from state forest rangers in a search for two hikers in Hunter. A 33-year-old woman and a 65-year-old man from Brooklyn had lost the escarpment trail just past Sunset Rock in Catskill Wild Forest. GPS coordinates put the pair 100 feet off the trail. Neither had flashlights or water with them at the time. Forest Ranger Rob Dawson responded and located the hikers, gave them water, and took them back to his vehicle for transport back to their vehicle at South Lake. The search and rescue concluded at 12:40 a.m. Read more at dec.newyork.gov. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. The local weather reports, public meetings, community information, and COVID-19 updates. Visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hola, ¿qué tal, amigos? Yo soy Pocho, baterista de Tribu Barú, banda de colombiana, de champeta afrocaribeña, y les enviamos un saludo a todos los radioescuchas y radioescuchas de la WGXC, ACRA 90.7, pegaditos al pico. ¡Ay, papito!
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lennox Local in Lennox, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a senior at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mishuda, and I'm also a senior at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson. I'm Lena. I am a student at MC Smith Elementary School, maybe? I don't know.
No one ever knows the name of that school anymore.
Yeah.
And how old are you, Lena?
I'm 10 because it's my birthday today.
Yay!
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So I want to see if between Mashuda, Amelia, and I, if we can sing happy birthday one line at a time.
Oh, we can attempt.
We'll take turns. Because it's impossible to sing in sync via Zoom.
Yeah.
But we could sing one at a time. So I'll do a line, then Amelia does a line, then Mashuda does a line, then I do a line. Okay. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Lena.
Happy birthday to you. How old? And I'm just kidding. We already did that.
No,
we already covered that. But happy birthday, Lena.
Thank you.
I hope you have a fun birthday celebration with your family.
Yeah, I hope so too.
And now, oh, we never said what show we are. So we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
All that. Good stuff. And we're usually here with our friend AJ, who I forget how old she is, so I'm not sure if we're all in double digits now. And our friend Fahim, who is in double digits. So we'll have to wait until we hear back from AJ about how old she is. I forget. I'm really bad with ages. I was telling Lena before the show that I thought she was 11, 10 or 11. I was like, I didn't think she was 9 going on 10. I thought she was 10 going on 11 or 11 going on 12. But I am wrong. Many times. But yeah, so we hope Lena has a great birthday and maybe you'll get some books as presents or maybe you'll get other stuff.
Yay.
Who knows?
Quarantine cure so I can figure out how they made it and then I'll spread it across the globe and then in 10 years I will give it to everyone because the Farmer's Almanac said they'll come back in 10 years.
Remember, it wasn't the Farmer's Almanac, it was some psychic.
Yeah, but like, I thought it was the psychic who wrote the Farmer's Almanac.
No.
Oh, okay.
But that's nice of you to share the cure. I do hope you get it.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Same.
But yeah, does anyone have a book they would like to talk about, or a bookish thing?
A lot of the things I've been... Oh, Lena raised her hand first. Let's go with Lena.
Go first, Emily.
It's her birthday, after all. We should let her go first.
Yeah, Lena gets to go first.
No, yes.
Please, no. I don't want to go first anymore.
Then why'd you raise your hand?
I thought no one was going to do it, so I was like, oh, okay, I don't want this to be awkward. So.
All right, so we'll have Amelia go first.
I've been reading mostly bookish things. I've read a lot of comic books recently, and I've also, like, fallen into the realm of internet horror stories, which is a weird realm, but a fun realm. Basically, there's a whole community of narrators on YouTube who will narrate stories written by internet users on Reddit or other places. So they aren't published, but, you know, they kind of have put their work out there to be read. A lot of them are written as if they're like first-person accounts, as if they're talking about a problem they have on the internet, but it turns creepy or paranormal. I've been listening to My Cabin Getaway series, which is what it's labeled as My Cabin Getaway on the narration channel that I like to watch, which is Bibusta. I don't know who wrote it because a lot of these stories are written under a username. This one was written on Reddit and tells the story of a man and his fiance who go to her family's cabin in the woods to spend some time up there on vacation. And they end up getting followed back home by something paranormal that's linked to her trauma when she was a young girl. So there's like themes of trauma in it. There's themes of her being like haunted by the manifestation of whatever she experienced. But then there's also the mystery aspect because they don't actually know what she's been through. And in order to get rid of this entity that's following them, they have to figure out how to get her over her trauma. So it's interesting. It's my favorite. It's one of my favorite stories on his channel. It's very good.
That's awesome. I know you like your scary stories.
I do. I love my horror stories.
Yeah. So it's nice that you have access to lots of stories on the internet too.
Yes,
you're able to explore those. You don't have to just rely on the publishing industry to keep up with your love for.
Yeah. But yeah, being on quarantine gives me a lot of time to sit down and catch up on internet series and horrors that I'm a particular fan of. There are like two others that I'm trying to get into, but I need to wait until I finish this one.
Mashuda or Lena, do either of you read stories online?
I do read stories online. Basically, my English teacher showed us like 2-minute horror story. I sometimes go online and read that. It's scary sometimes. You don't even need like 10 pages of a story. It just sums it up. Yeah, and I also have The Midnight Dawn. I just wanted to share that, like, you know, the Breaking Down and, you know, the vampire series, like, of Vela Swan by Stephanie Meyer. Like, there's a new book coming up. It's called Midnight Sun, and it's expected on, like, August 4th of this year, so like, they should check it out.
I heard that there was a new Twilight book coming out.
Yeah, it's called Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
Is that the one that's from Edward's perspective, the vampire's perspective?
I don't think so.
No, it's the work that retells, like, the events of Twilight. Yeah, sorry, it's the perspective of Edward. Calling you.
Oh, so she's actually writing it? She's writing that one? Because I thought she wasn't going to because a bunch of the pages got leaked.
It's going to be published on August 4th. I really hope there's a movie to it.
The cover looks cool.
It does.
For those that have seen the Twilight series book covers, there's one's and hands holding an apple, there's a flower, and then I forget what the other one is. But this one is the inside of a pomegranate, which is just about the prettiest fruit there is.
Arguably.
Yeah, so that's cool. Have you read the Twilight series?
I have watched the movies. Mm-hmm. I love the movies.
So you think you're going to read this?
Hopefully. I'm really interested in knowing like what made her write this like paranormal series. Like, mm-hmm. Sounds so realistic once she's like in the movie and like how it's described.
Yeah. I went to the area where that story is set on a vacation, not because I like Twilight, but when my sister got married out in the Pacific Northwest. And so my husband and I took a trip before the wedding and went up to the Ho Rainforest in Washington State. And we stayed in Forks, which is where those characters live. And then we also went to the beaches at Lapush, which is where the Native American characters in the book are from. It's a really beautiful area, but it was funny because the time that we went there, Twilight was still very popular and like the movies were still coming out and there was just Twilight stuff everywhere. Like the restaurants and stores all had like posters and stuff for sale for the fans. And when you went into Lapush, I don't know if they still have this, hopefully it's died down, but they'd have like a sign that said no vampires beyond this point, stuff like that. It's kind of bizarre, but also fascinating.
It's funny.
Really beautiful area of the country.
I was never a fan of the movies. I prefer to like kind of make fun of how cheesy the romance aspect is in that movie, in those kinds of movies, rather than actually enjoy them. But there is, I think it's in Breaking Down Part 1, I think that's when she gets married, and I am absolutely in love with the wedding scene. Beautifully shot. So even like as I sit here like, this is dumb, why is she like in love with the vampire? This is weird. But then I hit that wedding scene and I'm like, oh my god, she's in love with the vampire. It's so pretty. It's like a switch flip. Like, oh my gosh, it's so gorgeous and beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I read the first 3 books because I was working with teens at the time and they loved the books, and so I felt like I should read it in solidarity with them. But then I got through the 3rd book and the 4th one was out and I was like, I can't do it. Like, I feel like I should, but I can't. And I had a friend that convinced me I shouldn't read it. But I did watch the movies and I thought they were fun.
Yeah. I can't watch the movies with my mom. She gets annoyed at me for making fun of it.
Oh. Yeah, one thing I don't understand is like, how do you get powers like when you're a vampire? Like,
well, that's the one thing I know. I know Edward was bitten and turned during the Spanish flu. That's something they clear up in like the first movie or something. When he was turned, and that's how old he is.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, after Bella turns into a vampire, she has power to, you know.
Yeah, she gets this weird, obscure, like, power of like a lot of them have powers like mind reading, like Alice is a psychic, yeah, kind of.
How does that work?
Like, I don't know how that works. I think it's just like to add some spice to the already them being vampire aspect of the whole film series, whatever. So I don't know how that really works. This series is so weird, honestly, when you actually try to think about it rationally. It's such a strange book series. Especially can't watch the second movie with my mom, because then we'll spend the entire time arguing, because I was like hardcore like team Jacob.
During.
I know, right? He's so much, I like deeply believed that he was so much better for Bella than Edward was, and my mom would get really upset with me.
Yeah, but like I like Jacob too, but then I didn't like the fact that he marked on Bella's daughter. Like,
yeah, that's like a thing. There's like this weird thing called imprinting in like the werewolf culture, and like I like stuff like that. I like the world building. I care more about the world building than I do about Edward and Bella, and I wish there was more of that in the books, which maybe we'll get with Midnight Suns if it's from the vampire's perspective. I did just find out literally yesterday, so it's funny we're talking about this now. I found out yesterday that Stephanie Meyer wrote like a gift for like the something's anniversary of Twilight. But she wrote like this gift for the fans where it's gender swap Twilight. It's Bo Swan and Edith Cullen. And I'm kind of obsessed with that.
I wonder how similar it is. Like how much she changed.
I think it's like the same story, but Edward being stalkerish is toned down a bit. Because that's like a thing in the first movie where he's just like, I'm watching you sleep. And she's like, do you do that often? And that's why I was so weirded out by the whole story. I was like, why are you okay with this? I don't know. My mom loves it. I don't as much. But, you know, it's there.
She probably doesn't like your dragon books as much as you do.
I tried to get her to like my dragon books as much as I did. She read the first series and then didn't read any more. That made me very sad because she didn't get to my favorite book in the entire series. Speaking of which, I may have found my least favorite book in the entire series, and that's a very difficult thing to come to terms with.
That's the one with the humans in it?
Yeah, I've never been so turned away by a Wings of Fire book. I almost feel kind of betrayed, or like I'm betraying the series, but I don't care about the humans as much. And it's a Legends book, which means it's like you wouldn't like really have to read it to understand what's going on. It just tells the same story from a different perspective. So I'm almost tempted to just read a summary of it and not read it. So it's kind of funny that the two Legends books that are out both contain my absolute favorite and my least favorite of the books in the series. But yeah, I've been trying to read it and I'm just like, this is boring. They're just people. What's the point anymore?
Humans are the worst.
Yeah. In a world that has dragons and dragon kingdoms and prophecies and cool dragon powers, they're kind of the least interesting part of the world. Well, I'm not really that tempted to read about them.
Selena, do you have anything you want to talk about?
I have a book that is basically part of a movie because it's called Because of Winn-Dixie.
And
it's
Oh, gosh.
I've been trying to remember the title of this book for years. I remember reading this.
And so it takes the one scene where they're at the library.
Yes, the best place in the world.
Yeah, and it's one of my favorite scenes because I'm going to try to summarize it. It's not really a big part of the movie. So Opal wants to go to the library because I'm pretty sure it has like air conditioning or something. And then
it's a good reason.
Yeah. It's a mood right now.
Yeah. And so this is like after she got Winn-Dixie. And so she wants to go inside. I'm pretty sure it's because of air conditioning and because she wants a book. And so she sees Miss Franny, who is the librarian. So she's talking to Miss Franny, and then Miss Franny drops to the ground. And Opal says, Miss Franny, are you all right? Miss Franny says, a bear, I asked. He has come back, she said. He has? Where is he? Out there. And so It's basically how Miss Franny is explaining how when she was a little kid, her father built her a library. And so she had one of her most favorite books in there. I'm pretty sure it's like about the Civil War, maybe. And so she was reading it and she was like outside. And then a bear comes across. She drops her book and she also drops on the ground, but then the bear takes the book and then the bear just went away, vanished. And so Miss Franny tried to tell everyone, but they made fun of her because they thought that she was joking around and they thought that she was making it up.
This is like bringing back memories from when I read this book, because I remember the thing with the bear and the bear taking the book. And I remember reading this movie. Wow, I was really about to say that. I remember watching the movie when I was younger in class, because it was one of those books they assigned us to read.
Oh, and then, and Opal tells her that's her dog. And Miss Franny gets embarrassed because she thought it was a bear. And I'm pretty sure that's where it ends off. This was like the first story we read for the whole entire year. I thought I was going to hate it. I loved it. I especially loved the movie, but I couldn't finish it because the disc was old.
So it skipped.
Then it stopped.
No. I still need to read that book. I like that author a lot, but I haven't read that one. So someday I will read it.
Oh, okay.
And now I'll know that there's a bear. Assuming that's in the book and the movie.
Yeah.
But you said it was, right?
Yeah.
I had a bear, I've had a couple bear encounters in my life, but I had one in my adult life where I was at a campsite with some friends over in the Catskills, and some of them had Magic the Gathering cards with them that they left out overnight, and there was a bear that came to the campsite. And then when we were packing up to go, they realized that their cards were missing, and they thought they must have packed them somewhere in the, you know, whatever. But then one of my friends saw something in the woods at a distance, and they went to check, and it was the Magic the Gathering cards, and the bear had grabbed them and taken them out into the woods.
He just wanted to play some Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Let him play.
And so there were a couple that had little puncture marks on them.
That's so, like a story to tell.
Yeah, so I decided that bear now has magic powers from those cards. So if you encounter a magic bear in the Catskills, that's why.
Good for him. He just wanted to play a game or two.
Yeah, that's his superhero origin story.
That's like a story to tell. Can you imagine like playing Magic the Gathering and you pull out these punctured cards and you're like, you want to know how this happened? It was a bear. But yeah, I've never had a close-up bear encounter, thank goodness, because I'd probably panic if I did. I'd probably get scared. But I've seen them in a zoo. You want to know what I've never seen before that I really want to see? Like in real life, not in videos or pictures and anything. I want to see one in real life. I've never seen a real-life raccoon. Like
I knew
a living
you were
going to
say that.
I want to see a raccoon. I desperately want to see a living raccoon. And I will not believe that they're real until I see a living raccoon in front of me in real life.
I feel like I used to see them all the time as a kid. And so I don't know if they were just more common in New Hampshire where I grew up or if I saw them on vacation. But I feel like they were kind of that sort of animal that you would see. And now here in Hudson, I feel like I always see skunks and possums for like
I have seen a skunk before.
They're so cute.
The one I saw was scary. I was walking home from school and they're like nocturnal animals. So I look up and I thought I saw like a cat or a dog walking up to me. And some of the neighbors have dogs that they don't keep on leashes because they know to stay in like the yard. So I was like, oh, it's maybe one of those things. And I get close enough to it and I realized it was a skunk. And I just like kind of scampered past it, like closer than I would have wanted to. But if I had gotten any further away from it, I would have been out in the road. And I don't know, they're nocturnal animals. So I was like, I was scared it was sick because they're not supposed to be out that early. So I just kind of like shuffled around it and was like, please, please don't do anything to me. Please. I'm not bothering you. But it was cute. They're cute animals, but they're scary.
Yeah, I don't love running into them, but I think they're very cute when they're far away.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have a book I could talk about that I've been reading and really enjoying. It's a book for teens called I Believe in a Thing Called Love by Maureen Gu. And it's about a young woman named Desi Lee, who is Korean American, and she lives with her dad. Her mom's passed away, and she's a senior in high school, and she's a real overachiever. She's like school president. She is varsity soccer squad, and she's looking to go to an Ivy League school, and she's just an overachiever in many ways. But the one thing she's not an overachiever in is love. She's never had a boyfriend, and she considers herself really clumsy when it comes to flirting and interacting with people that she may deem crush-worthy. But then she's decided that it's her senior year, and she's going to figure out how to have a boyfriend before she graduates. She wants to have that high school experience. And so she decides, you know, if she has a plan, she'll be able to do it, because you can do anything you want as long as you have a plan. So the plan she puts in place is to fall in love with this guy named Luca, who is an artist, a teen artist at her school. And she decides to use steps that she's learned from watching Korean dramas to help win him over. And so once she starts with her plan, each chapter title is one of the steps in her plan. So for instance, step 5 is have a secret dream that brings you closer to the guy. And then step 6 is doggedly pursue your dream, no matter the cost to your well-being.
Oh no.
Step 7, mystery surrounds the guy, but find out more. So it has a lot of references to K-dramas. So if you're a fan of K-dramas, which I actually haven't watched any really, but my guess is that you would find a lot that you recognize from that. But it's pretty fun. She's an interesting character, and her friends and her love interest and her dad are all interesting characters as well. And then she has, you know, various hijinks that occur in her quest to find true love.
I think I've seen a K-drama once, and I somehow ran into it on a hotel TV while I was like channel surfing. And it was very strange because it was in Korean and I didn't know what was happening. But man, did I want to know what was happening, because it was wild.
Yeah, I'd like to try them out sometime, but I need to have the time to commit to a new show and a new show where I have to read the subtitles and to doing some research around what are the best ones to start with.
Yeah.
But this book's really fun. I feel like I don't often read stories that focus on romance or love, but I think I like them a lot when there's really good character development and the characters are interesting and they're kind of fun. So I thought this one's a good fit for me. And it's nice to read something light once in a while. This is a nice light read.
Yeah.
But not empty. It's light, but not empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd had this on my list for a while, so it had been suggested to me, but I recently saw that it was available on audio finally. Like it's not a new book. I think it was published back in 2017. But this author's books that have come out since then all had audiobooks, but this one didn't. And then I just happened upon it the other day and was like, oh, it's finally on audio. Maybe I'll start listening to it. And then I did. But yeah, so it's a fun book. I haven't finished it yet, but so far so good. I don't know yet if she'll find true love, but either way, fun ride.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, I've been reading some other fun books too that I'll talk about on another show. But I also just started a new TV show, which is not a new TV show. It's just new for me. But I started watching The Umbrella Academy, which is based on a comic series.
I've heard of this. I've never watched it though.
Yeah, I think season 2 just came out. It's a Netflix series. And I was seeing previews for season 2 and I was like, maybe it's time to start watching season 1 and see if I like it. Because I do like a good superhero story when it's done well. So it's pretty fun.
How is it so far?
Well, I've literally only watched the first episode so far.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
or did I watch 2? I can't remember. I think I just watched 1. At the start of the show, which I'm not sure if it's the same as the comic series, but you're introduced to this family, which was made up of 7 orphans who, well, I guess they weren't orphans, but they were taken in as if they were orphans. A man basically collected these babies that had been magically born. So apparently there were all these women around the world who just one day woke up and they weren't pregnant, and then all of a sudden they gave birth.
Oh, no.
And so this eccentric, I forget if he's a millionaire or a billionaire, but he has a lot of money. So this eccentric man adopts 7 of the children. And it turns out that the majority of them have superpowers and they become this team. So while they start off as kids in a way, the show really starts off with the passing of the father figure, the adopted father, and the children who are now all adults coming back together. And there's some mystery around if the father died by natural means or not. And there's also interesting dynamics with the youth, or the now adults, former youth.
Cool.
So it's pretty fun.
Yay.
Oh, and we've had some announcements on the Hudson City School District website. They're sharing information about where some of the seniors are going to school. And both Mashuda and Amelia have now been featured on that Facebook page.
Yay.
Do you want to tell everybody where you're planning to go?
I'm going to Columbia Green Community College. I'm going to be majoring in humanities.
Awesome.
I'm going to St. Leopold's, and I think I'm going to major in education.
Yay.
Cool.
I'm so excited to see what you all learn and what you just... And I know two of our Bound by Books alumni have also just graduated from college, so congrats to Mahmuda and Antonia, who recently graduated from Mount Holyoke and Simon's Rock.
Yay. Congratulations.
They grow up so fast. And Lena, what grade are you going into?
Fifth grade.
So you're turning 10 and about to finish up fourth grade.
Yeah, but I want to go with all the tall kids. Everyone is short in my school.
Yeah, that's part of why I thought you were older than you are. Both you and AJ, our radio listeners can't tell, but both Lena and AJ, our co-hosts, are fairly tall.
I am not fairly tall. I am 5'2". I am 2 inches below the average height for a female. I've looked it up. I looked up the average height for a female. I did. I've done it multiple times, praying to get those last 2 inches so I could be at least average. But I'm not. I'm not even the shortest in the school. I'm not even short enough to, like, be special. I'm just short. Like, I can't be in the yearbook for being short because I'm not the shortest. But... I am short.
There's worse things than being average or under average.
Yeah.
I think of you as average height, if that makes you feel better.
Thank you.
But I
no
think
one else does.
Technically average height. Anyways, I think we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone has a great week and reads lots of good books. And we hope Lena has a very good birthday weekend.
Yay.
We'll be back next Monday to talk about some more books. Happy reading.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Because the world has heard your cry. And now they stand in solidarity with us. Not just in New York, not just in the United States, but every continent that God made has come to themselves and said, enough is enough. All right, everyone. All right, everyone. It's time for us to get ready to go. But we can't go if we can't bow our heads together in prayer. We're going to call for the First Lady of the Second Baptist Church to come and render our closing prayer. And let us, before she comes, let us put our hands together and thank God for this new generation.
Yeah.
These six young, awesome, beautiful, talented Black sisters of Catskill, New York. Oh, come on now, we do better than that. Come on.
I know there is a pandemic still in effect, but we know that the coronavirus will not kill us as much as racial injustice. So what I want everybody to do is just touch the shoulder of the person next to you. We came in solidarity, and we want to show a display of solidarity as we call upon the name of the Lord, realizing that under his ark of protection, there is protection. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence with thanksgiving. Thanking you, oh God, for meeting us in this place. Thanking you, oh God, for leading us to this place. Thanking you, oh God, for covering us at this place. And now, Father God, we pray that as we depart from this place, that the precious Holy Spirit of your Son, Jesus Christ, will continue to rest, rule, and direct our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for those who came together to bring us together. We pray your blessings to be upon them, O God, that you will continue to endow them with your vision, that you will give them the strength that they need, that they may be able to run this race with diligence, realizing that it doesn't stop here. It will not end with amen, but we have a job to do. There is a movement that has begun, and it will not stop until every life matters in your sight, oh God. So we thank you, Lord. We ask your blessing, oh God, to be upon our police departments, that they, Heavenly Father, may receive a fresh wind from you, that they will not go back to business as usual, that they, Father God, will learn to walk in righteousness, that they will protect the lives that they have promised to protect, that they will stand, oh God, for justice that they have promised to stand for, that they will walk in humility, that they, Father God, will continue to look unto you to allow you to be the author and the finisher of their faith, that everything they do will be pleasing in your sight. Now we ask your blessing, oh God, upon every home, upon every individual that has gathered. We thank you, Lord God, for sending them this way. We ask your blessing, oh God, to be upon the Floyd family who had to say so long today in his memorial homegoing service. We pray, Father God, that you will give them the peace that they need, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that as we walk, that we will walk in justice, that as we will walk in liberty, but as we walk, that we will walk in unity, realizing that you are God and above you there is no other. Bless us and keep us as we depart from this place, but never from your presence. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, to the all-wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now, henceforth, and even forevermore. And all of God's creation said amen.
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 I want to say thank you again. We're going to walk back. If you want to join us, come behind us.
Got the Algerian Rise singer Faudel rocking out here on WGXC 90.7 FM. Help us continue to rock out with this kind of music and all kinds of music. All kinds of music, all kinds of sounds, some familiar, some...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, no applause and keep it down. Your drinks, no rather your ice in your glasses and...
Don't ring the cash register. You got it covered? All right. I'd like to continue this set with a composition dedicated to the first or second or third All-American heel, Phobos, and it's titled The Fables of Phobos. Oh, Lord, don't let him shoot us. Oh, Lord, don't let him stab us. Oh, Lord, don't let him turn better us. Oh, Lord, no more swastikas.
Brainwash and teach you
everything.